Robinson to come forward. He's been waiting patiently in his seat. Now, I just want to thank him for taking the time out of his busy schedule to come share with us God's word. Amen.
So good to be with you today. Look around and see different ones. Most of them I know. Some I don't. But I will know you after today. We'll never be strangers. I may be sharing a lot of different thoughts with you today, but two words I want you to pick up on right away as we start. I preached a funeral service this week for a dear, dear friend, one of our closest associates in the ministry. She was our treasure for our Philippine missions for 52 years. She died on her 85th birthday. She celebrated her birthday one day and went to heaven the next. That's the way to go. I see Brother Walt Suffolkool here this morning. It's good to see you, Brother Walt. You know the lady I had the funeral for this week, Sister Ruth Hurd. Yeah, he knew her very well. Two words I want to begin with today that I believe will be a blessing to you. I want everybody to say it with me or after me. Great peace.
Great peace.
Say it again.
Great peace.
We're living in a troubled time. To me, even a preacher for many years now, I was thinking about it this week, in 52 years, 54 years ago, we left for the Philippine Islands. I've been preaching now. I didn't go there to be a preacher, so I've been preaching now about 52 years. It's a miracle for me to be able to stand here before you today by the help of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, that's the only way. So I was a timid and shy farm boy. I was used to working around cows and pigs and working out in the field. Now, I have to admit, sometimes that was easier than pastoring. But there were times when pastoring was also glorious and fun, exciting, challenging. Those two words, I'll be repeating them probably a number of times. It's found in Psalms 119. David said, great peace, say it with after me. Say it again. I want you to leave here today remembering that those two words. It's the only way we made it through all of these years. It's the only way my wife made it, being married to me now. October will be 59 years. Wow. And Brother Walt was the one who gave her away, and I accepted her. We were just teenagers, but God sure knew what he was doing. I didn't. Great peace. Great peace. Have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And we all know that there are, in all of our lives, there will come times of offense. But that great peace that comes from loving the Word of God will sustain us, bring us through, and be revived as we meditate on the Word. Great peace have they which love thy law. Thy law is the Word. And there are many times in my life when I did not love the Word enough. I depended on my flesh, depended on my self, talents, and maybe a few abilities that I had. But all of them come to an end sooner or later. But the Word of God never comes to an end. The Word of God will sustain you. The Word of God will keep you. The Word of God will revive you. The Word of God will bring you out Just like the children were singing here this morning. Boy, did they set a good example of enthusiasm for Jesus. Excitement for Jesus. And believe me, they will never forget this. I couldn't concentrate on what they were singing because I was too busy watching the kids. How precious that is. I wish I would have had training like that as a child. I did not. But great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. In other words, nothing shall destroy them, bring them down. Sure, we get discouraged. Sure, we don't understand everything. This year, we've lost a number of our dearest friends. Not a day goes by that I don't think about them. They were very dear to my heart. And the wife of one of them is here this morning. Dixie, I'm glad you were able to make it. God bless you, girl. Her husband went to heaven, about a month ago? Sister Ruth went to heaven last week. We're losing some of the soldiers of the cross. That woman was the greatest example to me of somebody who loved the Word, lived the Word, taught the Word. You could not talk to her without her sharing the Word with you. She had struggles in life, just like everybody else. Lost her first husband about, 40 years ago or more. Stayed single, thought she would never marry again, but God fixed something beautiful for her, and she was able to marry again, but then she lost him. It wasn't but about 5 years, I think, and she lost him. A lot of grief. Then a couple years went by and she met another elderly gentleman. She said, I'll never. Don't say never. Don't say never. I said, I'll never be a preacher. I couldn't stand to be up here and all the eyes looking at me. I couldn't concentrate. There's no way I could do that. Don't ever say I won't or I can't. But I've learned that through the Word of God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by the Holy Ghost. And He does come and anoint us. He does come and touch our minds and touches our heart and brings us into a place of anointing to where we become the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ, the mouthpiece of Christ. I want you to remember, especially those two words, great peace. Why do I want you to remember that? We're living in a time of great turmoil and great trouble. Confusion. I have to stay prayed up or I'll hate some people. I'm just that way. I really do. There is some nasty, demonic. Did you hear what I said? Some nasty, demonic spirits that are trying to destroy our country as we know it. What in the world was wrong with the country that I grew up in as a child? You wouldn't want any better, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s. But when they begin to fall away from the Word of God, turmoil began to stir in our country. Trouble began to happen in schools and homes and in the government. Folks, troubled times are ahead for the world, but glorious times are ahead for the genuine believers. We're getting ready to go home. We're getting ready to be raptured out of here. I still believe it's going to happen. Just like the Bible said it's going to happen, it will happen. Great peace. Say it again. See, I want you to really get that in your spirit. Because you'll hear things on the radio, you'll hear things on... I have to turn the news off anymore. I just can't hardly watch it.
It just repeat, 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 repeat. Negativism. Another person coming up, speaking up against the way that we grew up, speaking up against the liberties and the freedoms that we have. These freedoms cost millions of lives. They really did. I had the honor of visiting the American Cemetery in the Philippines a number of times. You can't go there without crying. You can't go there without just really humbling yourself and seeing wall after wall, bigger and longer than this whole building. Walls like 15 foot high with names on both sides of every family name that you can think of here in America. Of young men, most of them 18 to 22 years old, who laid down, thousands of them laid down their lives, battling for freedom. And yet now today there's a lot of hate speech, there's a lot of preaching and teaching and saying that we are a racist country, we are a mean, that our government was founded by mean, aggressive, racist. Don't believe those lies, folks. This is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. You don't believe me? Go live somewhere else for 1 year. Go live in the Philippines for 1 year. And that's one of the best countries in Asia. Go live in Vietnam. Go live in Cambodia, where these missionaries are working. Any of those countries, Southeast Asia. This is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And a dear price was paid for this great nation. That's why I grew up during a time of great peace. Great peace. Have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I am going to share a few other scriptures, but this one's really in my spirit. It came to me about 2 weeks ago, and I've thought of it every day, every night. I even dreamed about it one night. So it's hard to find another subject to speak on other than peace. Jesus said in John 14, verse 27, you can't preach about peace without speaking about the Prince of Peace. John 14, verse 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. The devil and all the demons of hell are endeavoring to destroy that peace, rob you of that peace, make you afraid, make you scared, make you nervous and upset and have nervous breakdowns. And people are having many nervous breakdowns. There's a lot of suicides. And a lot of it's because of the turmoil, the confusion that's going on in our land. Now there's a great turmoil over starting the schools, whether the children are going to have to wear masks or not. And the government's trying to decide whether we should make it mandatory that everybody wears a mask. Don't buy into that garbage. I said, great peace. Great peace. Have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. In Isaiah, he is called the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9, verse 6. The Prince of Peace. If he's the Prince of Peace, and he is, and he lives in us, then I believe we should have great peace. But there's so much going on that is ugly that our peace is shaken. We've got to endeavor to keep our mind on the Word of God, keep our mind on Jesus. I would really be doing you a disservice if I came here and I did not preach Jesus Christ. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way. It's not a religion, but it's a personal acceptance of Him to transform and change our lives. That's why we can have great peace, because He lives in us. He is the Prince of Peace. You accept Him, you accept the Prince of Peace. And I want to drill that into you while I'm here today, because turmoil, discouragements, demons, liars, and devils are out to destroy and cast down. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have peace. Hallelujah. He said, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives to you. My peace is a lasting peace. That's why Jesus could say, I will be with you even unto the end. There'll be no end to His peace. So we have to stay in Him, keep Him in us. Don't be offended or cast down, or don't be so discouraged. I believe that offense there is also to a discouragement to where you want to give up. It happens to all of us, folks. We're not robots. And we've not been raptured yet. We're still human beings. As I preach at the funeral, out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we that are alive and here now, we live by faith. We're absent from Christ physically, but we live by faith. But those that have gone on to be with the Lord, they're not living by faith anymore. Ha ha! They are in the Prince of Peace. They are with the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17, Scripture says He came and He preached peace to them. I love it when the Scriptures verify one from the Old Testament, from the New Testament, from the Psalms to the New Testament. He came and He preached what? Peace to them. Great peace, yeah. Ha, say it again. Wow, you're getting the message. He came and He preached peace to them that were afar off, and to them that were near Him, to those living during His time, and to us living now during this time, afar off. And when you accept Him, that's the only way you can begin. You only begin when you first accept Him. You begin to understand a little inkling of His peace. But as life goes on, and all kinds of fiery darts and trials come against you, that's when you find the real Prince of Peace. You either give up or you dig your heels in. When I said that, it reminded me of my great-grandson. We were teaching him to ride a bicycle. He was 4.5 years old. Well, he did pretty good when I put him on the bike and let him ride on the level going down a hard road. But he wanted to get up the little hill by our mailbox. And every time he tried, he'd fall off. By the time he was 5 years old, he'd try to get up that hill, and we'd say, now, Caleb, remember, when you start up that hill, you got to really dig. Dig. We'd tell him to dig. And don't you know, that boy put his whole heart and mind into it, and by the time he was 5, he was climbing that little hill. Trials and tests for children. But what about us children, us big children? Trials and tests come our way. things that can destroy us. And the devil knows that. And he knows when we are wavering in our faith. He knows when we are not up to par. He knows when we're not quite on top of the mountain. And that's when he'll come and he will pull his dirty tricks out of his trick bag and try to totally defeat you. It's happened to us over and over again. You imagine we were missionaries in the Philippines and going through some hard times, especially financially. We had a 3-year-old daughter when we went there. And then by the time she was 7 or 8 years old, we were going through some hard times in the Philippines. And right in the midst of that, I got a letter from our home church that sent us there. Here we are 10,000 miles from home. I got a letter from our home church saying, we will not be able to send you one penny if you do not break fellowship with another brother, another missionary. I thought, dear God, how bad can this get? We're 10,000 miles from home, and now we're being cut off because I'm not going to break fellowship with a man that I'm working with on the mission field. Although I might have had a few legitimate reasons too, but we were brothers. We were working together, hand in hand, having tent meetings, watching a number, I don't know how many hundred people getting saved. That's where I started to preach. I helped get all the literature and signs up and streamers. We were having a big tent meeting in a remote town. I got all the tent up. I got benches made for the tent meeting. And our director, who was going to be preaching the meeting, and two missionaries that were arriving from America, they were going to be the evangelists. We picked them up at the airport. They had come from India, and they were quarantined. I don't know, they had rheumatic fever or something. And then by the time the tent meeting started, our director was in the hospital with gangrene in his hand. So we got, I said to all the Filipinos, I said, we got this meeting planned. The flyers are out. The streamers are up. And we said, bring your sick. Bring the blind, bring the crippled, bring the brokenhearted. Jesus will meet their need. Now we have no preachers. They're all sick. Preachers get sick too. Well, this one just about did me in. And all the Filipinos looked at me and said, Pastor, Brother Bobby, I wasn't pastor then. I said, you're going to have to do the preaching. Oh, man. God's doing it to me again. I'd had a number of experiences by that time. I dug in and I prayed, dig, dig, dig. I dug into the scriptures. And I preached in that tent meeting. It was packed with people. That tent was about as long as this auditorium in here. It was packed with people, people standing around the outside. They brought the crippled. They brought the blind. I couldn't look at them. I could not look at them. I'd never done this before. I was not a preacher. I was a helper. I was a laborer. When it came time for the meeting to start, something happened to me. An anointing came like I had never experienced before. Amen. And I discovered that there really is great peace in the storm. Even in the midst of the storm, there's great peace. I preached, I don't know, I must have preached 10 minutes. Because I had not memorized scripture. I think the only scripture I knew was John 3:16. Because even in our old church, I was the bus driver, so I usually got into service late. Didn't get in on much of the Sunday school classes. I was always busy helping the pastor. And he said that's why I became a missionary, was because I was such a good helper. And he called us, when he called us in the office, he said, God has laid it on my heart to help you get to the Philippines. But he said, I really don't want to do it. because you're the printer, you're the church bus driver, you're one of the ushers, you're such a great help. But he said, that's why God chose you and called you to go halfway around the world. I said, but I'm not a preacher.
I did feel a calling to go and open up a printing department because I was an offset printer. God used that to get me to the Philippines. I tried to make a bargain with God. God, you don't make me preach, I'll go. Because I saw how preachers were treated. Many times preachers weren't treated very good. And I didn't want to be one of them. But I wasn't there but about 2 years. Actually, less than 2 years. I was pushed out into the ministry. We had started 3 or 4 churches in the provincial areas, miles from Manila, and they had no pastors to pastor those churches. We were training some, but we had no one. So the director said, you're going to have to take 1 or 2 of these churches. I said, oh yeah? I was going to argue with him. Great peace! When the peace came, God gave assurance. When the peace came, God spoke to my heart. Said, I brought you here for this purpose. Now remember the night before we left for the Philippines. Well, a couple of nights before we left, one of our last services, Brother Walt was there. There was a message in tongues and interpretation. God said, I will make you one of those Filipinos. Their blood will be as your blood. Your blood will be as their blood. I didn't know what all that meant. I didn't care too much about that. I wanted to go and start a printing department. I had a single track mind. But believe me, after a couple of years, we were one. Eating their food, sleeping on the floors, under the mosquito nets, traveling out into the mountain regions. When I was here the last time, about 2 years ago, I told a few of the stories of going to the headhunters, the tribes. There is great peace. If we obey God, we don't understand it. We don't know why He leads us in certain directions. But though we don't understand it, He knows all. And He has a great plan for every one of our lives. How many of you know that you are precious to Him? You are very precious to Him. I heard a preacher the other morning on radio. I usually have my radio in the car set on a preaching station. If I can find one. It's getting harder to find them anymore. This preacher was really preaching the word. He was doing a good job. He said, I believe very soon we're going to be out of here. He said, I know that many theologians are preaching that we're going to go halfway through the tribulation. Some of the other theologians are preaching we're going to go all the way through the tribulation. He said, a thought occurred to him. Why would God beat up on His body in the tribulation? Why would God beat up on His body and then invite Him to a marriage supper of the Lamb? I never thought of that. Folks, perilous times are already upon us. But great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now, I believe that means total offense. We all get offended. But I'm talking about catastrophic offense. Devastating offense. To where you just absolutely cannot bear under the burden anymore. He said, I'll never put upon you more than you can bear. Sometimes we wonder, Lord, did you mean that when you said that? There's been tough times, let me tell you. Hard times. But the glorious times and the anointing times have outweighed all of those times of offense. Amen. So I can boldly declare before you today
great peace. I want to turn just for a minute to 2 Peter. I'm not going to keep you much longer. I've been known as a long-winded preacher. Somebody said, it's the longest sermon you ever preached. I said, you're not going to believe this. It was 3 hours. In a hot church building in the Philippines, metal roof, heat beating down. It was over 100 degrees in there. I was soaked from the top of my head, sweat running down my shirt and into my shoes. 3 hours. About 20 minutes after that sermon, one of our Filipinos came to me and said, Brother Bobby, could you write down that sermon you preached today? I said, Dear Lord, I don't even remember now what I preached. 3 hours. I said, if you didn't get it, brother, you didn't get it. Our hearts really became one with the people there in the Philippines. It really did. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained precious faith, like precious faith. Is your faith precious to you? With us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and through the knowledge of Jesus our Lord. How can peace be multiplied? Only through the knowledge of God and through the knowledge of who His Son is. Jesus, the Son of God. I like to have multiplied peace. I like to have a double portion of what He's promised us. Great peace! Great peace! Have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Peace be multiplied through the knowledge of God and through the knowledge of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given us unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, I want you to hear this, you might be partakers of the divine nature. And that's what we're doing here today. We're putting on more of His divine nature. I'm a little more like Jesus than I was 20 years ago, but I'm still not satisfied. There's more that I need. More anointing that I need. More power that I need. More strength that I need. Because sometimes we weaken a little bit. We get discouraged. Everybody does. We live in a discouraged world. Sometimes it seems unbearable. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes in the Word of God. Amen. Because great peace is going to come to you, and you're going to be victorious. You're going to rise above all of the offenses that come against you. They will come. Everybody say, but God. That's another sermon. I might preach one of my favorite sermons next Sunday, but God. That's one of my favorite of all times. And I haven't preached that for probably 5 years. But I'm praying about it. Whereby are given unto you through these exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The world is not a comfortable place. And what's going on in the world is turmoil and confusion. And people that are so confused, they don't know what direction they're going, don't even know what day it is or where they're at. And yet they're trying to set laws and set rules for you and I. Everybody say, but God. Great peace. Say it again. Well, say it like the preacher says it. Ah, that's better. Say it until you get it down in your spirit. That great peace will rise up when turmoil comes. When offenses come, you are offended. Just this year, I felt so much offense. I felt so much discouragement at times because of religious people making dumb decisions. Yet I won't give up. I want to fight the good fight of faith. I want to stand, having done all to stand. I want to stand, therefore, having my loins girt about with truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. The armor of great peace, the armor of faith, the shield of faith. Jesus, folks, is the answer. He will bring you through, bring you out. Jesus said in Matthew 11, I'm just going to turn there in closing. You know this verse anyhow, probably wouldn't even have to read it. But sometimes it's good to hear it and it's good to see it. Matthew 11, verse 28 and 29. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus said that. Great peace. You may be heavy laden, but he said, come unto me. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of who? Jesus. Oh, I want to know him more. I want to know him in his fullness and his power. Hallelujah. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But in this troubled world that we live in, it doesn't seem that way sometimes. But his word never changes. He's still the same. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we can declare with all of our heart today, great peace. Great peace. I'm going to claim that great peace for myself, for all of you. As I learn to know Jesus better and learn to know his Father better. No greater love can anyone show than this, that one should lay down his life for a world that was lost and on its way to hell. Total destruction was coming. But Jesus came on the scene. Amen. Jesus came on the scene. You and I would not even be here today if Jesus never came. Humanity would have been wiped out. You know, a number of times, you read the Old Testament, a number of times God thought about just doing away with the whole miserable mess. But God. who loved us with an eternal love. He made us in His image. He knew that He would have a remnant. And He has a remnant here today. Precious people that love God, that just need this reassurance of great peace. I want you to get that down in your spirit today. Great peace have they which love Thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I want us to sing an old chorus that many of you know, I'm sure. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Let's sing it together right there where you're sitting. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit ever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love. Before we sing that one more time, would you stand with me? If you're here and you're troubled, you're in turmoil, maybe confusions, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, but in the midst of all the trouble and turmoil that's going on in the world, sometimes it drags us into that net of discouragement. And you just want a supernatural peace to sweep over your soul here today. As we sing this little chorus again, make your way to the front and we'll just all agree in prayer. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, be sure to let me know and I'll lead you. And I'd love to introduce you to the Prince of Peace. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love. Father God, I thank You for the people here today. And I know there are those that are troubled. I know that there are those that are in the midst of a turmoil, a battle. Satan has come to cast down and to destroy. But Jesus, Your word is alive. You've come to give us life. You've come to revive us. You've come to refresh us, restore us, and bring us into a new place in You. Let Your anointing be on each one and meet every need that's here today, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. 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 Brother, God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Bobby. Looking forward to his message next week. Anyone want to hear that 3-hour sermon? Thank you so much. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before You. It's been a pleasure, a joy to come in Your presence. We thank You for our beautiful children and our Sunday school teachers, Father God. We thank You for their innocence and, Lord, their preciousness. Lord, just help us to become like them, their faithfulness and trust in You. And Father, we thank You for Your message, great peace. Never has been there a time where we need this great peace than now. Amen. Seems we have nothing but media and people who are bringing strife and division and uncertainty into the world. We need this great peace. Only You that can offer this peace, Father God. Not as the world offers, Father. Their peace is nothing compared to yours.
Amen.
Father God, you have called us to be your disciples, to be your teachers. As we go out in our little worlds, our communities, those we meet every day, every week, Father God, if they don't know you as Lord and Savior, they can't comprehend and they can't understand this great peace unless someone tells them. Father God, they must be struggling and hurting so much in the world we live in today. Lord, just lay it on our hearts to tell them about this great peace. They don't have to let the government and other people bring this peace into their life. Only you can do that, Father God. Help us not to rely on those around us in our circumstances and situations. This great peace can only come from you and knowing you as our Lord and Savior. Father God, just lay it on our hearts. Help us to be compassionate and loving to those around us. Help us not to turn our head and hearts the other way when we see those around us struggling and hurting. Yes, Father God, they may even be our enemies. Remind us that one time we were your enemies as well, Father God, but you loved us. You loved us so much that you poured out your Son on a cross for us when we were your enemies. You loved us. Father God, teach us of this love that you have. Instill it in our hearts, Father God. I ask that you be with each person here today, Father God. You know our hearts and situations and circumstances that we're going through. Father God, at times you choose to remove those struggles that we go through. But more often than not, Father God, you want us to walk through them. Not alone, but with you, side by side. You want us to walk through these trials. Father God, just help us to lean on you during these hard times. Help us to rejoice and celebrate, Father God, in the good times that you're there in the midst as well. Thank you, Father God, for this service. Thank you for this time together with my brothers and sisters. Now go with us, Holy Spirit, just lead and guide us in everything we say and do this coming week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.